Despite the huge media interest in North Korea at the moment, it's nearly impossible for journalists to get inside to cover the story. But the BBC's Asia correspondent Clive Myrie and his production team based in Singapore found a loophole. Rather than travel as journalists, they made the journey as tourists.
My editor here in Singapore noticed that Singapore Airlines, the main carrier out of Singapore, was running for the first time tours to North Korea, and they decided to mix a visit to China with North Korea, this elusive, secretive place, and make it an opportunity for people to get over there and have a look. My editor saw the ad for the tour group and thought, oh, I'll put in a few applications. And bizarrely, we got them.
And nobody asked any questions about the fact that you are a journalist or anything?
They didn't, no. I mean, obviously, there are certain countries in the world that one has to be careful of if you've got journalistic visas in your passport. So we decided that we were going to have cover stories. I was an IT consultant. My boss, Sarah, was a hairdresser. And our cameraman, DC, he is an English teacher.
This tourist group that you were traveling with, how much freedom did this group have to move around in North Korea?
There are lots of places that obviously journalists would like to go in North Korea, and there is no way you will be allowed to go to those places if you have a journalist visa. As a tourist, you're allowed a little bit more freedom, but you're still very, very closely monitored. And as I say, we were three Westerners as part of a tour group of about 70 Chinese Singaporeans. So we stood out anyway, perhaps more so than the other members of the tour party. We were, for instance, put on a separate floor of the hotel. Our three rooms were put together, and there's very little doubt that our rooms and phones were bugged.
Were you able to get away at all at any point?
A couple of times in some of the big squares, Kim Il-sung Square in the center of Pyongyang, a cameraman managed to get into a couple of stores that had nothing on the shelves, a couple of loaves in one shell supermarket, and in another shop, just a few apples, and most of the shelves were empty and bare, and this was early afternoon, so it wasn't as if there'd been a run on the produce.
You also got footage that shows North Korea at night, and it's completely dark. There's virtually no electricity, it looks like.
There is a chronic electricity shortage in North Korea. It has very little coal, and the coal that it does have is difficult to get to. There's no natural gas, and there is no oil. And as a result, the North Koreans say that they need a nuclear program in order to produce electricity. And it's quite bizarre to be in a capital city of about 2 million people, like Pyongyang, and see no streetlights, very, very few streetlights on, after about 7 o'clock at night. Very eerie, very spooky.
And yet it was very different for you as tourists. You had all the food you wanted. You had electricity in your hotels, presumably?
That's right. I mean, the hotel that we stayed in did have its own generator, and we could see lots of batteries packed in the reception area linked to some of the rooms. Interestingly, the karaoke lounge in the bottom of the hotel was probably the hottest room in the whole building for some reason. There was plenty of electricity for the flashing lights and the TV and the microphone and the karaoke system. A lot of Korean Communist Party faithful frequent the karaoke bars in the evening.
I was interested that they took a tourist group also to the border with South Korea.
Very interesting visit that was, and probably the highlight of the tour for us as journalists. It provided perhaps some of the best pictures to see the proximity of the South Korean troops in relation to the North.
You also seem to have an interview with a North Korean commander. Was that an interview that was done as a journalist, or I was wondering how that interview was done?
That's right. Very interesting. The tactic that we had, that we employed on going to North Korea, was that I would talk to people as much as I could for as long as I could and make them comfortable, to the point where they wouldn't notice eventually our cameraman just moving around the background with the camera. And I was chatting away to the commander, Lieutenant Colonel Lee, who's one of the top commanders up at the DMZ for the Korean Army. And he got into our conversation so much that our cameraman, DC, just decided, well, I'm no longer going to try and hide the camera. I might as well just put it up to my shoulder. And he did, and no one noticed.
And what did he tell you?
He felt that the Americans had no right, first of all, partitioning the country in the 50s. America should not be on the peninsula. And he talked about a visceral, deep-rooted hatred towards the outside world about partition.
Well, thanks very much, Clive.
My pleasure.
BBC correspondent Clive Myrie.